Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, I'm really excited about this show tonight. I've got to tell you, I've got to make a great announcement in just a second, but in case you just tuned in, it is September the 26th, the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2020. We have Gene Andrews on. I'm his right-hand man. Matter of fact, he's smarter than I am, a better radio host than I am, a better everything than I am just about. I'm really blessed to have that man as a brother and a friend and as a co-host. But guess where I am, people? I'm here at the home of James Edwards. I'm here at the home of James Edwards, and I'm here with James and Keith, and we're going to have Gene on for another segment, and then it's going to be me and James and Keith. We're going to be doing the roundtable on Blood River Radio tonight. I told a couple of people tonight that had a great surprise for them, and this is the first time we're going to do a roundtable. We've been talking about doing it for, I guess, a year or more. We're finally going to do it tonight. But anyway, I'm going to go back to Gene, but I want to make a slight disclaimer. Oath Keepers has a lot of stuff that we have in common with them. The one thing we don't have in common, they're not the segregationists we are. I'd like you people to know that. I brought Ranger Doug on for one purpose and one purpose only. Well, actually two. He's there in Louisville, Kentucky. He was the only person I know that I could get in touch with that is in Louisville, Kentucky. Boots on the ground. That's performing a patrol, a function to protect businesses and life. That's why we got him on. So if you can live with that, I had to kind of make I won't say a deal with the devil, but if you listen to Blood River Radio very long at a time, you know we were a white nationalist. We don't hate black people. But I'll tell you what, I love my wife more than I do the black guy's wife down the street. I love my kids more than the black kids down the street. I love my grandfather more than I do somebody's black grandfather. I love my people. I'm a white man. And, you'll never hear me say, well, I don't hate, because I think that's kind of a cop-out, when these people say that. Some of my best friends are black. Some of my best friends are Jews. No, I know I have acquaintances that are black, but I don't feel comfortable, socializing with the blacks. I don't go to their house to eat. They don't come to my house to eat. I'd like to make that perfectly clear. I am a white nationalist through and through. I really am. I like to be my own kind. It's perfectly normal to be that way. In fact, I think it's abnormal. People are making a big ballyhoo about the Supreme Court justice. I mean, she's adopted some kids in Haiti. I mean, my God, that's why one of the main reasons I left Macon Road Baptist Church. Anyway, with that disclaimer right there, people, we had to take the good with the bad. We did get a report, boots on the ground, from Louisville, Kentucky. Now I'm going to go back to Gene. What do you think about all that I just said, Gene?
Well, when you look at it, what they're doing, most of the businesses that they're going to have to protect are black-owned businesses. The black lives don't matter to other blacks or whatever they call that organization. The ones they're burning out are people in the cities, and they're burning out their own people. It shows you how stupid they really are. And for the Oath Keepers to protect all the businesses, they're going to have to protect a lot of black businesses that are targets of these street mobs and anarchists. So, if the thugs and the terrorists can burn out, they don't care whose business this is. They just want to tear up something. And just like the statues, they don't care what the statue is. It can be an abolitionist. It can be they've torn down statues of Yankee generals. They're just out there to destroy things. That's it. And so, if you can show a presence of force supporting the police and shut down the Antifa and the Black Lives Don't Matter to other blacks, I'm all 100% behind the Oath Keepers or anybody that can shut this nonsense down, no matter who they're protecting, whether it's a white-owned business, black-owned business. Now, like you said, that doesn't mean that we have to go move from the suburbs into the inner city just to show how much how, you know, we're buddy buddies with everybody. We can have our life, they can have their life. But there's a certain point in the road where our two lives come together, and we have mutual enemies out there that are attacking all of us. And sometimes, like I say, like they say, you know, it's time to cut cards with the devil and stand together if it benefits both races. And that's sort of the way I see it. That may not be the official policy of Blood River Radio, but we are in times that you better get all the allies you can out there on the street.
Well, Gene, whatever you say is official policy of Blood River Radio.
No, don't put that on me now.
It's on you, fellow. You can't get it off.
No. Well, I'm glad you were
very.
James.
You know what?
We've
you
had
said
a lot of
I could not.
Together.
I wish I could have said it like you said it. You're absolutely right. You know, there's an old adage that says the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Something like that. And I'm not that, all I'm saying is. People know that Blood River Radio, we started Blood River Radio, our chief aim, our mission was to try to stop global white genocide.
Absolutely.
And our poster child was South Africa. We've explained that 100 times on this show. So if you look around, and I agree with every single thing Gene said. Gene is absolutely right. We're at a very, very critical juncture. A junction in life right now. There's a lot fewer white people in the world than I think that's even admitted. I think the people say that we're here in the United States, we're 40%. I would say we're probably 30% white in the United States. Gene is right. We need all the allies we can get. We have to stop these communists in the street because communists hate everyone of every single. They'll execute their own grandmother, but they especially hate white Christians. But Gene is absolutely right about that. And believe it or not, Gene, I kind of lost track of what the hell I was going to say.
Okay.
Well, I do that all the time. No. I would say it's a senior minute, but go ahead, Gene. Back to you, fella.
I understand what you're saying, and there's no need for us to ever apologize for saying that we enjoy being with our own people. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody has a right to do that. There's certain people. I don't like Yankees and I don't like liberals. Well, okay, I don't associate with those people, whether they're white or whatever. They irritate me and they drive my blood pressure up. So I choose not to associate with them. I played football for 12 years and coached in high school for 14 years. I have not watched a football game since that last game that Peyton Manning played in the Super Bowl, and I wasn't watching many before that. But that's the last game I've watched because I don't like the black culture that has taken over football. And that's not anything against black individuals. I do not like the black culture of what it's turned a great game of football into, the shuck and jive and dancing and strutting around and the in-your-face kind of stuff. That is not football. Now, does that make me a racist? Oh, I'm sure that a lot of people say I am. But when I'm offended by something, I don't watch it. And I'm sure not going to pay an obscene amount of money for a ticket to go watch a football game or basketball. I never cared anything about basketball. I always thought that was an un-American sport when they blew a whistle and penalized you for delivering a good, clean hit on somebody. And I couldn't play basketball.
I tried to tell James that.
Because it came too soon after football season. I was used to just mowing down anybody that had on a different color jersey than what we were wearing. So, and then they blow a whistle and call a foul. That's un-American. See, when blacks are upset with what we do or what we have, our history, our heritage, our Confederate flag, Dixie, showing Gone with the Wind, Confederate monuments, they're offended. We have to get rid of it. But when I'm offended by what they've done to what I thought was a great game of football, then I simply don't say, well, you can't play football because I'm offended by it. I say, heck, I'm not going to watch it.
You know what, Gene? My sound was kind of cutting out. I hope I'm not talking over you. I used to be a big Alabama fan, but I'm the same way you are. I just do not like the black culture. I don't watch football games. I especially don't like pro games. My family watch it at a remote location almost every Sunday. But when Nick Saban came out and marched for Black Lives Matter, I'll never, as long as I live, I will never, ever watch another Alabama football game. And I never thought I'd say this, God bless Bear Bryant's soul, but I hope Alabama loses every single game this year. I really do. Just because of what he did.
Yeah, and you can't pick a team You know, because all of them do it. They all pander to it. I went to Georgia, and I wasn't much cut out for college. I didn't like it anyway, but it really cut my ties with the Bullfrogs when they came out in 1972 and said they are no longer going to play Dixie. And they used to do that. They'd play the national anthem, everybody kind of stand there, and then on the last note of the national anthem at a Georgia home game, they would come in, go into Dixie, a real upbeat version of Dixie, and here came the Georgia football team out on the field. And there were five or six cheerleaders running out ahead of them with Confederate battle flags to the 50-yard line, and then they'd turn and go over to the Georgia sideline. That was every home game. But they decided in 1972 they're not going to do that anymore because it might offend somebody. And I said, well, you've offended me. I've never gone back. Don't care if Georgia ever plays another game again. Don't care if they ever win another game again. We have completely severed ties with that communist-run propaganda mill. So it's, and like you said about Alabama, you can pick Georgia, you can pick Ole Miss, you can pick Vanderbilt, Tennessee, you know, Florida State, wherever you want to, it's all the same. They're communist indoctrination centers. That's all they've turned into.
You know, Gene, once again, my sound's cutting out. I was hoping I'm not talking over you, but you know, same way with Ole Miss. I remember you used to go to the Ole Miss games years ago, and big Confederate battle flag up and down the flag, up and down the field, man. And Keith knows more about that than I do because he graduated from law school at University of Mississippi. Well, people, Gene, thank you so much for coming on tonight, buddy. I'll be calling you again. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming on and helping with the show tonight. Be right back, people.
This is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, people, I feel extremely lucky tonight. I thank you people so much for holding on. I think we had a great interview earlier, and I told you what I didn't like about it, and Gene kind of will follow up, told me the same thing. You know, well, I'd say Oath Keepers is there probably, you know, I was one of the founding members in Shelby County, Tennessee, the Oath Keepers years ago. I can't even remember how long ago it's been, but even Lee Cochran, before Lee Cochran went downhill so bad, you know, he's got diabetes. He's had some amputations of limbs. He's not what he used to be. I'm not what I used to be. But, you know, they, when I was in Oath Keepers, when Lee was there, we didn't have one single black member in our Oath Keepers outfit there here in Tennessee. And like every other organization I know of that I can name, just about every single one of them will get infiltrated. That's why, if you want to organize a militia unit, any kind of unit you want to organize, you have to do it strictly by the book. You have to be legal. You really do. Just like Stuart said, love him, hate him, whatever. He was a Yale law grad, and he said he won't hold that against him. We have a lawyer right here that I'd put up against anybody, Keith Alexander. But he can also tell you that you should never say anything. It's better not to never even talk to a cop. If a cop comes to you, ask him questions, don't speak to him. There's nothing you say to a policeman that they can use in your favor in court. If I remember right, speaking to a lawyer at the Campaign for Liberty one time, he said it can be used against you. Something you say to a policeman can be used against you in court. But get this craziness. It can't be used in your favor because it's considered hearsay. That's true. And like Keith said, they can get you talking. The authorities can get you talking. Believe it or not, this has a point. I'm going to come to the point. Famous for these so-called rabbit trails, but this rabbit trail is not really a rabbit trail. They get you talking about anything, and if you can lie to the cops, and they can get you kind of confused, and you lie without even knowing you're lying. They can bring you into court and say you lied about it. Keith, he's just stepped out for a minute, but he knows the exact term I'm talking about. And you can be prosecuted and put in jail for lying to the cops about something just trivial. That happens all the time. But anyway, if anybody would like to call in tonight, this would be a great time to call in. But before I forget, we have a guy named Steve from Baltimore. Steve, if you're listening, he called and you sent me a letter. He's sending me the letters all the time. And yes, you can donate. I know you're going to be shocked, but our little donate button, we've been deplatformed, I think 12 hours after we got on the line. we got deplatformed. It took us weeks of hard work. And you're talking about somebody, I can barely get my damn cell phone to come on. And I'm having to do all this crap with our webmaster. It took us, I think we put about 46 hours in a lot of money, about $490 to get this donate button on. And the only donation we got was from our co-host, Matt Goodwin. He told it like, I think, $50 to see if it would work. And Lee Cochran, I think, sent in $5. And then after that, it was deplatformed. So we've got to get some other kind of system up there. But Steve in Baltimore, if you're listening, if you go to our website, you can send us a check or money order to Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio. It's on our website. If I can remember, it's box 634. I can't even remember the name of my post office. I'll remember it at the break. 34636, post office box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee, 34318. Okay. Oh, great. Okay. We have a caller. What's his name now? Okay, put Patrick from Texas on the line. Put him on.
Hello.
Hello. Hey. You there, Patrick?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, can you hear me, Eddie?
Yes, sir. I can hear. We have a little bit of... Go ahead.
Yeah. There's a guy named Sheriff Richard Mack. He heads up the CSPOA, Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association.
No. Are you talking about somebody, Stuart Rhodes?
Yeah, no. This is Sheriff Richard Mack. The Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association.
James says yes.
He won a case in the Supreme Court saying that he was only going to enforce Constitution, not all these 80,000 statutes and codes, and he won. Now, the question begs: how the heck can this be? You're telling me that there's two different types of law that are going on. One of them, is the statutes and codes, and the other one is just the Constitution.
We have a guy in the audience. I will let him answer that for you right now. But what do you say? I'm sorry, you're cutting. Excuse me, we're having just a little bit of difficulty with hearing, but I'm going to come back to what I think you said. There's the Constitution, and then you got the Constitution. But I'm getting ready to go. We have a lawyer here listening to us, a caller. His name is Keith Alexander, And I'm going to turn the headset over him and give him the microphone because I'm not a lawyer. He is. But I'm going to give it to him, and I want you to repeat the question to his name is Keith Alexander. He's an attorney at law. I want you to repeat the question to him. Hold on 1 second. Here you go, Keith.
Okay. What do you think the question was?
Hello?
Yeah, sir. Keith, can you hear me all right?
I can hear you.
Oh, yes, sir. There was a sheriff, Richard Mack. He sued to go to Supreme Court to just enforce just the Constitution. Now, he won. And the Supreme Court said you can enforce just the Constitution. You ain't got to enforce anything that statutes and codes, like the U.S. Code and the 80,000 of them they can hang you on. It's just things that are constitutional. And now, that begs the question. What is this? Is more than one type of law that's being used on people here? I think there is. You got all your military bases and everything. They're under captain's law or admiralty law, and they brought the sea jurisdiction on with the Buck Act and overlaid these shipping lanes onto our postal roads, and now they're using this admiralty law on us, which is statutory and codes. And we actually should just be only subject to the Constitution, especially the Bill of Rights, where James Madison said the Ninth Amendment, we have rights that are unenumerated, that should not be disparaged. So we have rights but they've put a bunch of stuff on us, these statutes and codes that are not, they're actually just flagrant, breaches of our rights. But they're doing that because they're misidentifying us as one of their civil servants. If you work on a military base, you're under their base codes and everything, the federal codes. But we're not. That's why I think there's a big misunderstanding. But I'll turn that over to you so you can cipher through that.
Well, thank you, Patrick. I'm not sure I understand your everything that you said, but let me just say this. We're all subject to numerous laws as U.S. citizens, as citizens of states, as citizens of cities and whatnot. If you're in the military, you're subject to the Code of Military Conduct, things like that. But those laws can't infringe upon your U.S. constitutional rights. And if you're in a state, they can't infringe upon your constitutional state rights. Okay? That's what the law is, and you need to keep that in mind. That's why the Constitution is important, because particularly in the Bill of Rights, there are all sorts of protections for against governmental conduct. It was originally considered to only apply to federal governmental conduct. Then, with the 14th Amendment, they started expanding the protections to people against state and local governmental conduct, too. That's what was basically...
And they made us all U.S. citizens. That's right.
Right. Well, see, in the Civil Rights Movement, what I was going to say, that in the Civil Rights Movement, most of the laws that the federal courts were saying were unconstitutional that were being imposed by governments in the South were local ordinances or state laws. Well, it sounds like we've got a break coming up here, Patrick. Maybe we'll catch you on the flip side on this. You take care.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
In a campaign stop in Atlanta, Georgia, President Donald Trump announced a new plan focused on economic empowerment for Black Americans.
And I'm here today to announce a brand new plan to deliver more opportunity, more security, more fairness, and more prosperity to Black communities. We call it the Platinum Plan. Platinum Plan. And that's a contract with Black Americans, and it's going to be something that people talk about for a long time to come.
The Platinum Plan highlights several areas the president plans to focus on in his second term if reelected, including a pledge of 3 million new jobs for the Black community, creating 500,000 new Black-owned businesses throughout the United States. The campaign also vows to make Juneteenth a national holiday and to prosecute the KKK and Antifa as terrorist organizations. This is USA Radio News.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Former Congressman and presidential candidate Ron Paul was hospitalized after he appeared to suffer a medical episode while recording his YouTube show. The 85-year-old was speaking about free markets on his show, The Ron Paul Liberty Report, when he began to slur his words and lost the ability to speak. He was taken to a hospital in Texas for precautionary reasons. Paul tweeted out a picture of himself in his hospital bed writing, "I am now doing fine. Thanks, everyone, for your concern." Google said it would stop allowing political ads for an undetermined period of time after polls close November 3rd in anticipation of possible confusion or civil unrest while votes are counted and election results are finalized. The popularity of absentee or mail-in voting this year is expected to add to the time that election officials will need to count every vote. As a result, the winners of the election, including the presidential race, may not be clear immediately afterwards. This is USA Radio News.
Well, people, we're right back. And I guess I'll say it for the 15th time. It is September the 26th in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2020. You know what? And I'll say this again. There's no other name under the sun in which man may be saved but Jesus Christ. There's only one way to the Father. That's through the Son. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the most sacred Jew that ever lived. I don't care if you're Abraham himself. If Abraham has come up from the grave, that knee of Abraham will bow. So don't come around here and tell us that you're a son of Abraham. To kind of paraphrase, I'm going off on one of my famous rabbit trails, but I'll paraphrase John the Baptist. John the Baptist was talking to the elite Jews, the Pharisees and the scribes, and he told them, don't come over here think not to yourself that we be sons of Abraham. He said, and John the Baptist told them, God Almighty can rise up sons of Abraham himself out of any of these stones. So just to reiterate, there's only one name under the sun in which man can be saved, and that's by Jesus Christ. And we dedicate this show, every single show of Blood River Radio is dedicated to God Almighty, to his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will come. He came once to save the world. He's coming back again to judge the world. And you know what? When Jesus comes back the second time, there's two places you're going to go. You're going to go to either the great white throne judgment. You do not want to go there to be judged and then sent to hell. Or you will go to heaven and all eternity. And people talk about their sacred Jerusalem. We're going to make Jerusalem the capital of Israel. Well, you know what? Jerusalem is going to go along with this earth. This earth shall pass away. It's going to be burned up. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. And what is the word? It's the same word that came in Genesis. In the beginning, there was the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, there was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Anyway, getting back off that rabbit trail, people, I'd like to tell you something. We had a lady that gave a video. We played it up at up in Harrison 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it was a big hit. And we played it on Blood River. I think it was the longest video we've ever had, audio videos. Anyway, and she was talking about communism and how it came into Yugoslavia. And we had that show. We had my brother Gene Andrews on, and we had Major General Nick Glasnovic from Croatia. I'll just go run back his brief.
Hell of a guy.
He's a hell of a guy. You know what? He served 5 years in the Canadian Army, served in the French Foreign Legion, and he fought in the Croatian War of Independence, and he lived to tell the tale. And he said the same thing. This lady, I can't remember her name, a dear lady from Florida sent us the video. We played it. She said that the enemy of your people, of our people, they're in your government. And that's what I wanted to get to the Oath Keepers earlier. Our main enemy is in the government. If communists have been filling. I'm going to go to, by the way, people, I told you where I am. I'm at the home of James Edwards. I'm here with James Edwards. I'm looking right over about 5 feet from me. Keith's to my left. We're having a great, say something to the audience.
Well, we're trying to keep social distance here in the studio tonight. That's a
We sure are.
Wait, I'll tell you, what I would like to say to the audience is this. Obviously, Eddie, the Bombardier Miller, you know, for a decade and a half nearly, very integral part of the political cesspool.
Still am, by God.
Obviously still is in terms of the legacy, and he'll be on tonight, and we're doing this cross-show roundtable. We're coming on here, Blood River, for a few minutes. He'll be on with us tonight on TPC, which immediately follows, of course, this program. But I'll tell you, Eddie, obviously, for so many years, along with Keith, there just about every week on TPC, and he went off to do his own thing, wanted to cover some things we weren't covering on TPC. He's done a good job here at Blood River. But we got back together, and we've always stayed in touch, of course. I mean, it's not like we haven't talked in the last 2 years, but Eddie comes to, you know, events that we do, and, you know, we're always talking with one another. But we got together this week a couple of days ago for dinner on Thursday night, and it just felt like old times. I mean, it felt like we had never missed a beat. Me, Eddie, and Keith back together again, it felt like the world was in total alignment. It just felt like that's the way it was supposed to have always been, and it was a great time.
Absolutely. I couldn't say it better. I'm just having the time of my life. I've had chills. But we decided to do this.
We've been talking about it forever, doing a roundtable, doing this, you know, doing some us sitting in with you coming, you know, back home, so to speak, but which we'll be doing tonight. We got a great show waiting for you. Hey, there's Sam. Now we're really united.
I want to bring Sam in earlier when they start talking about Sheriff Mack, because Sheriff Mack and Sam are like joined to the hip. They're like blood brothers.
What was the question? I think, because I didn't hear everything that Patrick was trying to get at. I mean, yes, obviously Richard Mack is associated with the CSPOA, but I didn't have a headset on because we're all trying to share equipment here. But in any event.
You know, even though we spent millions on our I think we spent $87 million on our studio combined. What we yeah, 87 million pesos. What did that come to? About $25. But, yeah, we have a little technical difficulties around sometimes. But like Jacob Tyler says, we get by on pennies when our enemy gets by on billions. You know, they spend billions. We spend pennies. But, yeah, Oath Keepers,
I'll tell you one difference between us and our enemies. They're tuned in tonight. We never listen to their stuff. You know, I never tune into their programming.
That's a great point. By the way, I just found out today. I didn't know it. I guess I'm kind of naive. I didn't know I was considered so evil. But James told me and Keith told me, that, guess what? It breaks my heart. I've been crying a river. I'm on the SPLC's, SPLC's hate watching list I'm on?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were just shooting the bull, you know, pre-show, and I was, you know, it came up, and Eddie didn't know it. And Keith and Eddie are the only two people that, you know, the only two people I know that don't really do so good with emails and computers and stuff like this. So, I mean, in any event, I was like, Eddie, I guess it's worthy of a mention tonight, but I mean, you've been on there for a year.
I don't know. We're gonna.
You haven't arrived, by the way, until you do get on there.
Should have sent him a plaque or something.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing they should do. They should at least send you a certificate when they name you so you know when it happens.
Well, Keith made me do it, y'all. SPLC, if you're listening, Keith made me do it. he's blackmailed me. He knows where all the bodies are buried. But, yeah, you know, I'm just enjoying this. I had chills before we even came out here tonight. Thinking about doing it.
Well, the band's back together. This is a reunion show. This is a reunion tour. Two shows, one night, but... it was like when I tell you, this is an event that rivals John, Paul, George, and Ringo getting back together. This is it.
Well, this is like Eddie is like Haley's Comet. He flies through every 75 years, but we've got him here tonight.
Got to catch that shooting star. That's right.
Actually, we're guests on his show right now.
No, we are guests. That's right. Well, we're all one family, and it's a family of broadcasting here at Liberty News Radio, the great Sam Bushman, champion of freedom of speech. And, well, anyway, this is Eddie's show. So we got 3 hours coming up, but it's great to be back. Eddie, it's great to be back with you. We love you. Thank you for having us on your show tonight. Always, you know, and Eddie, I tell you, Eddie did something we could never do, Keith. He snagged Gene Andrews, the great Gene Andrews, as a de facto co-host. I mean, we could never get that much talent.
I tell you what, man. Well, he knows where to go, man. He knows where the nuggets are hidden.
We get Gene for Confederate History Month, maybe a couple other times, but he's with it. Every time I tune into Blood River, there's Gene. I'm like, when's Eddie going to come on? Well, somebody's got to get a mic going. Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't trade Gene for all the tea in China. I'm not kidding you. Gene is so easy to overestimate. To talk to him, he seems like this good old Southern boy, which he is. To speak to him, he sounds like he's got that rock hard Tennessee accent. You know, he's got that Southern drawl. You would never know the guy's such an intellectual. I've never brought up anything to speak of anything he couldn't talk about. You know, well, you might say, well, Eddie Miller, you know, Bombardier, you don't have that big a repertoire, you know, but, but, you know, Gene is great. And what I love about Gene, he's honest, he's trustworthy, he's almost like a dinosaur like me. He's left over from another generation. People like my dad and my granddad, they couldn't survive in this world. They would be in prison, you know. I was telling people just the other day, in fact, I said it several times, I would love, God Almighty, I would love to go back in time and see the guys coming back from where my dad was, you know, from the Philippines and from New Guinea. And my buddy Cadillac White, 6'6", 210 pounds, Cadillac White taught me a lot of stuff about guns, a Marine, Guadalcanal Marine. I would love, by God, I would love to see the TSA try to fondle them guys down. I guarantee you, there would be gonads, there would be eyes, stuff would be scattered all over. Could you see these guys come back from Guadalcanal, Iwo Jima, and these TSA guys try to fondle him down? Man, that would be the massacre of the century. But anyway, I'm getting.
You remember the time you knocked somebody knocked on your door when you were trying to eat dinner one night?
I think I do remember that. I was so mad my eyes hurt the next day. Yeah, the cops. That's just another story.
So many stories from the Bombardier Eddie Miller.
I'm almost going to finish that story.
You know, how many stories could we tell? Winston Smith taking us. No. Eddie taking Winston. Oh, well, you know, I know what that means. Down to the casino when they had the organ grinder and the monkey come in. And we were eating on comps for days.
Sure was. We got to finish that story up right after the break. People, we got to go to a break, believe it or not. We're actually trying to run this radio show. We'll see you back in just a few minutes, people. Hang on your seats.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
People are going to let that music play a little bit longer. God Almighty, I love that music. Is that beautiful music? That's not our really hardcore Nazi music, like the one I picked out. But you know, I like that hardcore Nazi stuff. But anyway, Matt Goodwin, my little MIA co-host, he picked that music out. I got to say, I know I've said it probably.
Where's Matt and
times.
Jacob tonight? That's
Matt
what we want to know.
Well, Matt's in love. Matt's, in fact, he's been talking about getting married. You know, he's got to fix this place up a little bit.
It hurts to be in love.
Yes, it does. You know, I always... Lee is...
Eddie, you've had more turnover than Burger King since you started this operation.
Some people tell me I'm hard to work for, but I'm not hard to work for. I'm just... In fact, I tell my people, I don't expect...
It was always roses and blossoms and...
Yes!
When we worked with you, I can tell you.
I just... You know, I tell people, I don't expect perfection. I just...
You expect them to show up.
I expect them to show up. Just show up. And I expect excellence. I expect, you know, excellence and perfection are... Hey, Keith said it takes great courage to show up sometimes when I'm here, but I'm really, you know, I'm really just a docile.
As Keith also says, anytime we get together with you, you never know if Eddie's going to hug us or slug us.
Well, some people, I've been said I was a, what is it, bi-baller? Bipolar or something or other like that. I'm supposed to be an oriented, made straight A's in psychology, but I forgot what it was. Is he a bi-baller or something like that? Anyway, we used to call it manic depressive. But anyway, yeah, we're probably having a greater time than we should. But you know, I'm around.
This is what tonight's about.
That's right. That's what this is. You know, I was going to ask some hardcore questions to James, but I guess we'll just do.
Thought we would just talk about your comps at the casino that night.
Oh, yes, right. That's right. You know, people.
Before we ever got into cahoots with Keith. That's how long ago that was.
God, let me tell you what, people. I used to be this big time gambler. Actually, I was pretty dadgum good. I was a crap shooter. Listen, I tell you what. I got to tell this story. On one particular occasion, I took $300 down to I was at the Horseshoe Casino, and I had $300. I lost the first 100 in 5 minutes. I lost the second 100 about 3 minutes. I was down to $34. This is a true story. That's right. You know what?
And he wound up owning the Horseshoe Casino.
By the way, this is still Blood River Radio, y'all. But I know we're kind of getting off the track tonight. But I started with $34. This little white-haired old lady got up there rolling, and she rolled and rolled. She rolled the dots off those dice.
Rolling those bones.
She rolled a man. And I just kept pressing and pressing and pressing. Well, get this. I forgot how much money I won, but I tipped the dealers. This is God's truth. I tipped the dealers $500. That's from that roll. Then I went over to the slot machines, people, and I won. Hit once. I never did play the slots. I hit $2,700 on one pool, and then the sixth pool, when I finally said I got to go hit one for $4,500, I left with thousands of dollars that night. But anyway, where we went to eat, me and James and Winston's wife, my wife, my daughter, my grandson, we took them out. I took them out to this fancy steakhouse called the
– it's like the first or second year of TPC's existence. It was in the mid-2000s. That was even before Keith was a regular.
Yeah.
But that's why Keith wasn't there. But it was about – 10 or 12 of us, and everybody ate like kings.
We had the, what do they call it, the maitre d's? They put us in a private room. It had so damn many comps. It had thousands of dollars worth of comps.
There was like a fire show. They came in there and were like breathing fire. And
yeah, you know, and we had everything under the sun. Matter of fact, James said, like, Winston ordered 23 desserts. calling name brand booze, man. We ran that bill up. And you know what? We still had money left over after that. I want us to go before summer.
But the reason if anybody's wondering why Eddie lavished all of that on us instead of, you know, using it over time on himself, they were about to expire. So he had to use them or lose them. So he just figured, well, I'll get these deadbeats to come down and eat with me.
But man, that tea was.
And eat we did.
We certainly did.
Yeah, Winston.
yeah. You know, and the maitre d' was poured. I forgot what he called it. They pour this stuff out, and it's on fire. What do you think they call
it? It was like a cream brulee.
Is that what that was?
I think.
And it's on fire when they pour it out.
But the thing that I couldn't believe was when the monkey walked in and started doing tricks.
And James said, by that time we drank so much hooch, he said, that monkey didn't look too bad. I said, hold up now. We don't go, you know. We're
like, the little monkey was wearing like a tuxedo and doing jumping jacks and climbing all around.
We had a high old time that night. But I'll tell you, God knows, I used to love. You know what? Before I've been my other life.
That's how we got to make some money. We got to get Eddie back down south. We just got to load him up.
My ideal heaven used to come up about 4 o'clock in the morning. I love to go to the casino about 4 o'clock in the morning when all the amateurs are cleaned out, go up to the crap table, hear those slot machines go. I thought, this must be what heaven's like. Get on the slot machine, get you about 4 or 6 ounces of good old Kentucky bourbon whiskey. But don't worry, it's been blessed by the Mormon Pope, Sam. But anyway, we used to drink that. I don't do that anymore. As you people know, I started running marathons and all that kind of stuff, so I had to kind of reform a little bit. Hey, Keith, you said I'll be real quiet. I want you to tune in. Tell the people what you think about what's been going on tonight, fella. Here you go.
well, he missed the first. We didn't even know where he was the first hour. He was gone.
Right. Well, let me say this. Don't start hating on monkeys now. Monkeys.
No, we liked it. They brought in a monkey to do a show.
Look, monkeys share our DNA. Monkey, a chimpanzee has 98.9% of the same DNA as we do. So, you know, monkeys are very close cousins to us, and that's why Eddie gets along with them so well.
Dinosaurs had 2 eyes just like you do too, Keith, if you think about it.
That's right, yeah. I've never dated one, but. There you go, Eddie. Now, what else? You got anything else? Fire away.
Who you to me?
Yeah.
Well,
right.
You weren't
yeah,
even at anyone. The place that night. What am I going to say to you?
Well
I guess we got to show.
I can't hear what Sam's saying. Sam could be cussing me out. I don't have a pair of headsets.
Well, look, we got to get our game face on before TPC starts. There's too much monkey shines going on right now. But Eddie, it's your show, so by all means, close us out. You know, we got about 5 minutes. You know how this works.
Well, heck yeah. Well, you know what. Here's something. Okay, we'll get back to TPC in a few minutes if you want to. We can talk about this platinum thing, but and
we will.
We'll talk about the platinum thing. Also, I'd like to you guys. Yeah, Amy Coney. Yeah, we'll talk about. Sam says he thinks we ought to talk about Amy Coney Barrett. Good choice, bad choice. What do you say?
Well, we were talking about that for an hour with Brother Nathaniel last week, and I thought Keith and Nathaniel were about to come to blows, but. We actually are going to continue that discussion at the very top of the next hour when TPC starts. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court. We're going to talk about the rampant lawlessness in Louisville in light of the Breonna Taylor grand jury decision. We're going to talk about all of that. We're going to be talking about this. You know, that's the thing about Trump, Eddie. For 4 years, we've been going back and forth. He does something we like, and then he follows it up with something so nonsensical and counterintuitive. You know, this whole thing a couple of weeks ago where he was talking about critical race theory and banning the 1619 Project from being taught in schools and, you know, no white privilege, you know, fighting back against the so-called white privilege. And then he comes in and he does this thing in Atlanta where he says he's going to, you know, give blacks $500 billion and he's going to do this and do that, this platinum plan for black America. What about the people who actually vote for him? We're going to be unpacking all of that in the next hour. I mean, it's just a crazy initiative to try to get his percentage of the black vote from 2% to 3% and, you know, 5 weeks before the election.
Yeah, that's all I was going to say. You know, I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, I've never heard Trump come out to say anything really fake. He's not – Trump is not a white nationalist. He's really not one of us. I'd like to remind our people that think Trump, you know, is the second coming of John the Baptist. You know, Trump has surrounded himself like, and I know you people know this, I guess I'm preaching not just to the choir, but just preaching to the preacher. But Trump is surrounded in a tidal wave of Jews. I mean, his son-in-law, for God's sake, Jared Kushner, is a Jew's Jew. You know, he's into, I guess he just walked into the room. I'll break this. Miss Danny come in tonight, and I didn't think she was pregnant.
How's that belly looking?
Until tonight. And I tell you what, I will pronounce her, she is officially pregnant.
About 10 months.
She is pregnant. That's just a showing. But anyway.
Hey, it was my pleasure.
What's the due date, Danny? tell me again, when are you supposed to have that baby? The 12th?
The 12th. October the 12th.
Danny's supposed to have that baby? That's right.
15 days, you're going to be a Dr. Grandpappy again.
All right, I'll be a grandpappy again. Well, James says I always find out everything goes in his life before he did, but I tell you what, I think he knew about this before me. But anyway, getting back to if we can stay serious for a minute, I don't think I can. But you know, if we can, I can't understand about Trump why he keeps pandering. Why would he go and pander to the blacks even in Georgia?
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, we talked about this a moment ago, and then this whole thing he's going to prosecute the Klan. Well, everybody knows the Klan doesn't exist outside of a few FBI agents LARPing on the taxpayer's dime, but this thing with Georgia, I think what it is Georgia's very much in play for the Democrats. Trump could lose Georgia, and if he loses one of these formerly staunchly red states, the night's over. I mean, he loses the election at 8 o'clock Eastern time. You don't have to wait till 1 in the morning like we did with Hillary. It's over. So he, you know, in Georgia, which is where he announced this, in Atlanta, the big watermelon, if something like this, like bribing blacks, voters with, you know, $500 billion, if that can get his percentage of the black vote in Georgia up from 2 to 3%, like I say, and that's no exaggeration, that could swing an election where it's decided by a few thousand votes.
Will that cost him? But on the other hand, will that cost him 1, 2, 3%?
Well, he's banking that it won't. He's banking that whites have nowhere else to go.
And he's desperate. He's desperate to try to get a couple more votes.
That's it. That's the way I see it.
He's gambling.
I don't know how sincere he is about this. Well, we're going to break down this whole platinum plan. It was a multifaceted plan. And again, the only people who can benefit from the platinum plan are people who have never voted for Trump and wouldn't even consider voting for Trump. That's what he's pandering to. So I would say, you know, Trump, where's the plan for the people who actually vote for you? What are you going to do for them? And it's a shame because, you know, we had this great show last month with Sam. We did 2 hours with Sam making the case for Trump. And this is just some crazy stuff. But I'm not going to walk back and say you shouldn't vote for Trump. I mean, you know, again, what's the alternative? Biden's going to put us all in jail. He's going to criminalize thought and speech. And that's the end of the ball game. So, you know, Trump's not very good on a lot of things. And he's certainly inconsistent. But, again, your alternative is what? Biden will open up. They were talking about 1 billion Americans, you know, opening the floodgates, complete amnesty, complete open borders. I mean, that's what you're going to get with Biden. So, you know, whatever. I guess we'll go with Trump.
You know what? Right now we have – I hate it. I said I would never say the lesser of two evils again. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, the League of the South would say we have to have our own homeland. We have, you know, a South, an independent South. I see no way. This isn't really a rabbit trail, I don't think. I believe in the concept of white nationalism. I think we do need our own white homeland, but I don't think. In fact, I think I can prove this briefly. We're not going to be able to have a white homeland anywhere here in these United States because, you know what, the people that hate our guts, they're going, no matter where we go and settle, they're going to come after us, a.k.a. Zinc, Arkansas, about 3 weeks ago when they came out there in the middle of nowhere, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, harassing those people there. Well, people, that's the end of this show right here, Blood Eater, Blood River. Hang on your seats. We're getting ready to go to TPC, Political Cesspool, with James Edwards and Keith Alexander the Great, and I'll be in here riding shotgun with them, eating and watching them work. Thank you, people. Tune in the same time, same place next week. God willing, we'll be with the Eddie Bob Deerbell Blood River Radio. Good night. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Bethany. Thank you, audience. Good night.